The following talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonabakar at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan is a senior monastic and dharma holder in the Mountains and Rivers Order. He serves as Director of Operations at Zen Mountain Monastery and also helps run the National Buddhist Prison Sangha. This talk, like all of our talks, is given free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
This is from a teaching by Bodhidharma, adapting to conditions. As mortals, we're ruled by conditions, not by ourselves. All the suffering and joy we experience depends on conditions. If we should be blessed by some great reward, such as fame or fortune, it's the fruit of a seed planted by us in the past. When conditions change, it ends. Why delight in its existence? But while success and failure depend on conditions, the mind neither waxes nor wanes. Those who remain unmoved by the winds of gain and loss silently follow the way. So this is a section of a teaching by Bodhidharma called The Two Entrances. Bodhidharma is credited as the founder of Zen, bringing Zen to China from India. He was an Indian monk, so the founder of our school. And I've been working with this relatively short teaching of his, and this is just a part of it. So this teaching is titled The Two Entrances, because he says there are many ways to enter the path, but essentially there are just two. There is entry through principle and entry through practice. And entry through principle is to have faith in the teachings, specifically the teachings of Buddha nature, that our mind is naturally free and unhindered, that we are complete as we are. We just can't see it. We just don't know it because it's covered over, because it's confused. We're with our clinging and avoiding and trying to control things. It's covered over. We're not able to live out of our true nature, in our true nature. And so Bodhidharma says, one way to enter the path, to enter the way, is through faith in this teaching, in this truth, that all beings have the same true nature. He says it's also possible to enter the way through one of these four all-inclusive practices: encountering suffering, adapting to conditions, seeking nothing, and practicing the Dharma. And so there are different ways to enter the way, to enter the path. We do need to enter, find our way in. And so this is the second practice, the second of these all-inclusive practices. I'm going to read it again. As mortals, we're ruled by conditions, not by ourselves. All the suffering and joy we experience depends on conditions. If we should be blessed by some great reward, such as fame or fortune, it's the fruit of a seed planted by us in the past. When conditions change, it ends. Why delight in its existence? But while success and failure depend on conditions, the mind neither waxes nor wanes. Those who remain unmoved by the winds of gain and loss silently follow the way. So the teachings of the Buddha, in a way, are pretty simple. We suffer, but we don't need to. There's a path of practice that we can follow. Through practice, it is possible to liberate suffering, to return to our true self. There's a way that the teachings are simple. But somehow we are complicated, or we make things complicated. Or maybe we're just kind of stubborn. We are certainly caught in our habits, very used to our habits, hard to see through our habits, past our habits. And so we need to hear the teachings over and over again to find our way in. And we need to practice to work with our mind, find how to do that so that we can find our way in. It's kind of remarkable, this mind of ours and all that it does. I don't know, as I was working on this and thinking about the ways that we create suffering, and just, remarking on remarkable this mind and this life. So, these simple teachings, but the need to reflect and turn towards, to reflect on the teachings and turn towards our own experience. The teachings are always pointing us to our own mind. In the sense of helping us to understand our own mind, all of the teachings are from a person speaking from their experience of their own mind, of this human mind. And so in the sense of helping us to understand, and in the sense of pointing us to our own mind, for us to go ourselves and look. And so with this, the Buddha's first teaching on suffering, to look here in your own experience. What is it? How does it feel? Where does it come from? And the teachings are simple, but they go to the heart of the matter, or to help us make contact with the question of our life. They're not an idea. They're not abstract. It is there for us to help us to understand ourselves, not in the way that we can explain it, so that we can understand for ourselves. So that the question can be our own question. So that we can bring ourselves to the heart, to where things turn. So that we can enter. The Buddha began with this teaching about suffering, simple and direct. This observation of our human experience. Bodhidharma says we're ruled by conditions, not by ourselves. I was talking to someone just the other day doing a residency interview we do. People who are asking to come here for a period of residence for a month usually. We spend about an hour on Zoom with them, just talking about residency, asking questions, kind of. Important part of it is to see, well, do you have questions? Why do you want to do this? What are you looking for? And so I was talking to this person and asking that. And they were talking about desire and seeing how they have the desires and that it feels like they can't not follow them. And kind of the pain of that. The struggle of that. And they were saying, so I end up watching YouTube videos for 4 hours. I can't quite stop myself. And I asked, well, what's the problem? Where's the problem there? And they were like, yeah, that's a good question. Like the videos aren't a problem in themselves. They aren't bad. Then I kind of don't feel good about my life. And so just talking to them, I was just feeling, oh, that is where things turn. They are getting to the question, finding their way to the question. So we can understand this truth of suffering through studying and reflection. The teachings say we suffer when we don't get what we want, when we get what we don't want, when we're with the people who we don't want to be with, and we're not with the people that we want to be with. We suffer because things are impermanent. Our experience is fleeting. Things do not last. We suffer because of our expectations. We overestimate how much pleasure things are going to give us, how satisfying our experiences will be. And we overestimate how painful and uncomfortable other experiences are going to be. Bodhidharma says we are blown by the winds of conditions. And so hearing these teachings, to reflect, in my own experience, is this true? From within my own experience, we can reflect, where is the problem, actually? The Buddha said suffering is created. It has a cause, as all things do. So to understand is a way in. How is it created? Again, in our own experience. Bodhidharma says all the suffering and joy we experience depends on conditions. If we should be blessed by some great reward, such as fame or fortune, it's the fruit of a seed planted by us in the past. When conditions change, it ends. Why delight in its existence? And so Bodhidharma here is focusing on the suffering of change. Nothing lasts. Sometimes we get what we want. It might be some great reward. Maybe you've had some moment of fame in your life. I couldn't really remember any in my life. The only thing that I can remember is when I was a kid, my mom and I entered a raffle. I don't know if they still do these, right? You like put your name on a card and you put it in this big bucket and they're gonna draw a name. And I won $100. But my mom and I had agreed that if one of us won, we would split it with the other person. And so already it was a little disappointing. So maybe you have had some moment of fame, but mostly it's just these many little things in our life that we get excited about, that are pleasurable, that are nice. We get some praise, we do something well, or we don't. Maybe we feel criticized. But whatever it is, they don't last. As soon as we taste that delicious bite of food in our mouth, it's fading away. In this passage, Bodhidharma says that any of these good things are the fruit of a seed planted by us in the past. And so there is this teaching about karma that everything that we experience is the result of our past actions. And I find this a difficult part of the teachings on karma. And so another way to understand this, I think a way that sort of is less personal, is just to understand that all things are created. Everything that we experience comes from this complex web of conditions, causes, and it's coming into being in this moment. It is created. And then when those causes and conditions change, which have created this moment of experience, there's only this moment of experience, then it changes. Our experience changes. And so that we can study and reflect on in our own experience. Is that true? So someone was telling me the other day about how one period of Zazen was just awful, uncomfortable, scattered, hopeless. And I'll say from my own experience, then it's like, where does the mind go? This is hopeless. I'm hopeless. I might as well give up. And then the next period, the mind settles. Huh, practice is wonderful. Bodhidharma says, all the suffering and joy we experience depends on conditions. When conditions change, the suffering and joy ends. All things are passing away, so why get so excited, so upset? Don't you know it's not going to last? He's asking. So we can understand through study, through hearing the teachings, through reflecting. So bringing it in closer, testing it with your own experience. Thinking about it and bringing it in closer. Bring it into your own experience. Bodhidharma is credited with saying that Zen is a direct pointing to the human mind. I've been saying it's coming into contact. This is the great gift and challenge of Zazen, to come into direct contact with ourselves, with our experience, to come close. This happens because in Zazen we can allow things to slow down and be simple. It makes it possible to see our mind, to see ourselves, to come into contact. And it's hard to do. I've been thinking about that and sort of hearing from people. It's hard to come into contact. Why? Why don't we want to come close, to be intimate with ourselves? Is it that we don't want to? When we come close, we feel, and sometimes that's uncomfortable. When we come close, we feel how we suffer and how we react to that. And so in practicing coming closer, we get to see the ways that we're turning away, staying outside, holding ourselves separate. And we have different ways. One of my primary ways has been a kind of numbing, dullness. Sometimes I would experience it as depression, kind of holding myself at a little distance. Deciding whether to tell a story, I guess I better. I can't remember why we were telling this story, but many, many years ago, Sean and I were on a backpacking trip, and we were camping in the mountains and in our tents, middle of the night, and she woke me up, and there were bears outside of the tent, snuffling around, and you know, like right through the like fabric. We couldn't see them, but we could hear them. And I just said, "Oh, go back to sleep," and I went back to sleep. And she was telling the story, and it's like, oh, that was like how checked out I was, that I could just do that. And then I woke up later, and I took care of things and sort of redeemed myself. But I was just thinking about that as like, or sort of feeling that as like, oh, yeah, that distance, that sort of removing myself. And so with these different ways that we hold ourselves apart, then how do we sort of move through that? In the Tibetan teachings, they talk about an antidote, right? And so if it's numbness, then how do we learn to feel, right? Or see that, so then that is my practice, is to learn to feel, to come into contact in that way. For some of us, I think it's distraction, right? It's fantasy, it's stories. We can be in a story all the time. Or it's explaining to ourselves or to others, right? Kind of like everything has an explanation. Let me explain to you. For some of us, it's fear or anxiety or worry. And so how do we meet these ways that we hold separate? How do we come closer? And meeting them kind of settling through them, also allowing ourselves to make contact with our dissatisfaction. What is it that we're turning away from? And so I think for most of us, all of us, there is some dissatisfaction with this, a feeling of not good enough. And in all of our turning away, to see there's some sort of dissatisfaction with this moment. This isn't good enough. There must be, I want something more. But where is that? There's nothing outside. But a lot of the time in our Zazen and Sesshin, we get to see just the kind of the minor displeasures or joys, and to see our reactivity, to see how we react, right? The sweet bread was really good this morning. Oh, now I have to wait for a bathroom. Why are they taking so long? And just to see what happens in your mind. How does your mind react? And what does it create? To see how we're blown around. And so all of Zen teachings, practice, are about coming closer, coming into contact. So in your Zazen, in work, come closer. Come closer. And how is it when we do? How is it when we are closer, when we find our way inside of our experience? How is it? Is it uncomfortable? Keep going. Is it boring? Keep going. Come closer. Can we allow ourselves to stay there for a little while, to experience it? Bodhidharma says, while success and failure depend on conditions, the mind neither waxes nor wanes. Those who remain unmoved by the winds of gain and loss silently follow the way. So what is this mind that neither waxes nor wanes, that is always here, always available? It's not something that we create. It's not created. This is why the teachings are saying, come closer, come closer. Settle, enter. There's a line from the Faith Mind poem that says it a little bit differently. When the mind exists undisturbed in the way, nothing in the world can offend. And when a thing can no longer offend, It ceases to exist in the old way. So Bodhidharma says we're controlled by conditions, not by ourselves. Sangsan says we are offended by things. How is it that we are offended? That things offend. How is it that the mind can exist undisturbed? Can it? He's saying that it can. Again, this is not something we create. So, Sashin presents us with an opportunity to come closer in this simple practice, kind of made simple for us. So allow your practice to be simple and direct. You don't need anything else for this time. Just what's here. Just bring yourself closer into contact. Allow that.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.